go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 124 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. One question for all of you ugly viewers and listeners right now. Have you ever seen titties so lopsided that they remind you of a Picasso painting? That was a new joke I wrote yesterday. I tried it last night on stage. I forgot the name of the painter. Picasso, he's got those body paintings, you know, they're super famous, where they're all kind of off-center and boxy. And that's why, you know, when the one titty's here and one titty's down here, that resembles a Picasso painting. But as I said, the line last night, I opened with this. It was an open mic, so there weren't a lot of people there. But I still try to be professional at an open mic. The B-Man goes, hey, have you ever seen titties so lopsided they remind you of, and I banged the table or I banged my hand. I forgot the name of the painter. The painter who does those, he's famous, early 1900s. Multi-million dollar paintings. They're boxy faces, kind of cartoonish looking. Actually, and I couldn't remember, and then midway through my second, I go, Picasso. That's the punchline. I retold the joke and was able to get a laugh because the B-Man, I'm magnetic on stage. I have a presence to me. I don't know if I have it here on camera, but on mic, on the stage, the B-Man brings the lava or the fire, as some of you NPCs say. Oh, what was I saying? Yeah, I've been struggling to write jokes of late, so usually I go with queef. I try to write a bunch of queef jokes, but now I'm going to lopsided titties. Oh, those titties are so lopsided, we could play Plinko with them. Is Plinko a reference? A reference that the Zoomers, do they get that? A Price is Right, Bob Barker, the Plinko, you put it in, it bounces, and there's a prize on the bottom. Does that really make sense with two lopsided titties? I don't know, but it's a little writing exercise the B-Man does when he gets in a bit of a rut. He picks one topic and writes a bunch of one-liners on that topic or a theme, or, you know, bits about that one topic, and then I just try to make each joke funnier than the previous one. It's a fun little writing exercise. Creative writing, if you never took it in high school. I did not take creative writing in high school, but the B-Man, let's hear a Verbal Graffiti. We are not talking about creative writing in high school. Enough with the lopsided tits, but we're always going to go back to the titties here at Verbal Graffiti because that is a major theme that runs through all episodes 124 of this project. That is Verbal Graffiti. I don't mind. Actually, you know, when it comes to lopsided titties, I can never be with somebody long-term who has titties that are not symmetrical because I have OCD. So everything in my room has to be exactly ordered a certain way, and I'm one of those people. Or if I walk into your living room and I notice that a painting or a poster on the wall is a little uneven, I am going to point it out, make your attention aware of that crooked painting, and I will, without asking permission, go and try to even it out. So if I have that, right, that's a neurological condition that I have, OCD. Obsessive compulsive disorder. I need things level, straight. I'm very particular about that. So, of course, if I take your top off and the boobies, the nipples, that is, are lopsided, I'm going to have to wear a blindfold to boink you. That's how it's going to be. But that's not what I wanted to open this episode about. I was listening We're moving on, transitioning here. I was, don't put your hands in front of the microphone, B-Man. I was listening to a podcast with a OnlyFans actress. I'm not sure if you call her a porn star. I'm not sure if they like that term or not, if that's slander or if they vibe with that term or not. Well, I'm going to say porn star, but she is an OnlyFans performer. We're being very polite here. I don't remember her name. She was blonde, and to be man, I like brunettes. The guest on this podcast was Violet Myers. That piques my interest. As all of you may know, to be man, I've hawked my dick loogie to Violet Myers upwards of 100 times the past 3 years or so. I'd put the over and under of the number of times I've hawked my dick loogie to Violet Myers in the privacy of my own bedroom. I'd put it at 87 and a half total. I think that's a fair number that Vegas would take action on. Anyway, she was a guest, and she's a busty brunette. There were a lot of things. Actually, let's back up a little bit. I always used to listen to podcasts with comics. I loved comics, just the banter. The Hang podcast. You know, two or three comics smoking a blunt or having a few cocktails and getting inebriated and talking shit to each other. That was my favorite type of podcast up until about a year, maybe 2 years ago. And I feel as though the successful comedians, the named comedians that you can name, the ones who tour nationally and internationally, the ones who have very successful podcasts, all of them, and I am not of them. I am a failure at comedy, so I'll say whatever the fuck I want. I have nothing to lose. But the comedians who have something to lose, they will not talk shit about other comics. I'll tell you after we stop filming, and that kind of ruins the podcast, because whatever that is that none of us hears. Oh, I'll tell you after who it was who did this in the green room, or who I had this altercation with, or who I had this sexual relationship with, or who dick I sucked, in the hallway. It's like all those things. Oh, wait, I want to know. This is interesting. This is gonna be clipped and put all over the internet. That doesn't become part of the podcast, because comedians, the successful comedians, are too aware that the camera, that the microphone is on. So I feel as though the comedian podcasters, the entertainment value of a lot of them, it's been subpar since it's just not as free flowing as it once was before. When podcasting, it wasn't done solely as a monetary venture. When it was just guys shooting and gals shooting the shit for fun to try to raise. It was just done for fun. It wasn't done, oh, well, we'll do a podcast together. We'll put it out every week. We'll do merch. We'll go on tour together. And this is how we'll make a living. And now that seems to be the only reason why a lot of comedians do podcasts. Even me, I'll admit, I'm trying to raise my stature in the comedy game. But I have noticed the last 6 months or so, porn stars and OnlyFans actresses who have podcasts, they let it ride. They'll talk shit. They'll talk about everything they do. The porn star podcasters have replaced the comedian podcasters in terms of entertainment, because the porn stars, they let it ride. They don't hide any secrets. They'll tell you who they were fucking, when they were fucking, who they were doing drugs with, what celebrities they've interacted with, what embarrassing stories they've had on set. They let it ride. And that's why I find myself gravitating towards these smut, makers of smut, who are now podcast. You know, nobody has one title anymore. You don't do just one thing. If you have one job title, go back to the 20th century, okay? We are in the 21st century. Anyway, so I'm listening to this podcast. I know how to bring a story together, I think. Let's see if I can do it. So this OnlyFans twat, and I say that affectionately, was interviewing Violet Myers, but it was more of a conversation than an interview. And it was at some point during the podcast, Violet Myers had mentioned that she's not on birth control. Whoa. What are you doing to me, Violet? What are you doing? How? If you're a porn star, one of the brand name porn stars who work for the companies, Browsers and Win One, and all those big, you know, the big time brands, Vixen. All right, B-Man, you know you're porn. You know you're smart. But she was Violet. Like, how can you not be on birth control? Because they were talking in this podcast about how Violet prefers cream pies, as do I. Violet, reach out to the B-Man. Maybe we can, collab together. Anyways, it just kind of, look, I'm not going to tell a babe what to do with her body, even though I do that all the time. In this instance, when it comes to birth control, pills, IUDs and all that, I'm not going to tell you what to do. That's your body. But if you're in porn and that's how you make your living, and that is how Violet Myers, whoa, what a bodacious babe she is, makes her living, and you're taking cream pies from all these guys, all these professional Johns, you might want to get on some type of birth control because you have the type of body. It's thick, it's bodacious, it's curvy, which the B-Man and all of us here at Verbal Graffiti, we love. We love. 87 and a half over under times, we've loved. But you're the type of lady, porn star, if you get pregnant, like your body is probably not going to come back to porn star status. So there are porn stars like Aza Akira. She has a baby, I think. I might be spreading rumors. But she was a very petite lady, and her body was able to come back to form. But if you're a busty Latina or just a busty porn star in general, like you got to be on some type of birth control because that's how you make your living. The belly, dude, we don't want that. I mean, there is the Prego fetish out there, but you're mainstream. You ain't fetish, Violet Myers. Like, you got to get on some type of birth control so that you continue to make adult films with the figure that you have. We also love your personality. And in this interview, I also learned two things that were, how shall I say it? I did. And not disappointing, it was just deflating. It was just deflating to me. It's just, One, Violet Myers had mentioned that she has a BBL, a Brazilian butt lift. I was under an impression that Violet's behind was all natural. So when I realized, or so when she had confessed that she does have a BBL, I was like, you fooled me for years. I was a child at a baseball, you know, similar to PEDs. You should still go to the Hall of Fame, but it's just, I thought you were all natural. Also, Violet Myers had mentioned that Ava Adams, one of the MILFs of all the MILFs, her boobies are implants. And again, I was naive. I thought Ava Adams' boobies were all natural, but they're actually not. She's a MILF, so I thought those were just God-given mother milkers, but no, they are enhanced from the blessed hands of a plastic surgeon. So I thought she had the perfect body, and although it still is perfect, it's not God-given. It is God-intelligence to hands-given from a surgeon and maybe silicone or whatever substance or, you know, a foreign object underneath. But they look fabulous. They look fabulous. I mean, I've been a fan of Ava Adams for upwards of a decade now. And in that entire time, up until yesterday, I thought her boobs were natural. That's how impressive her boob job is. And I... We know. B-Man, you watch a lot of porn. You see a lot of fake boobs across the screen. So maybe I'm not as good. Maybe my fake titty dar, you know how they have gay dar? My fake titty dar is not as precise and accurate as I thought it was. So now I'm just questioning everything I'm seeing now. My mind is boom, 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 boom. I don't know what's real, what's not. Let's move along. Okay, that was a long opening. This comes from the subreddit student loans. Know what those are like? Not paying full payment. Good luck with that one, sir. Hey, y'all, my time has come. Unfortunately, my loans will be coming out of a deferment soon, and I must start paying. I already had them consolidated and prepped for the IDR plan, applied for the IDR plan, and then it got blocked, paused. My payments are going to be almost $600 a month, which is insane, capital letters, and just not feasible for me. If I was able to be in an IDR plan, my payment would be around $300, which is way better. That's half the price. So if I were just to pay only $300, half of what is being due, you know math, what will happen? Will my payments go into default? Will it ruin my credit? The only people I know who are paying payments either have theirs paused because they are on IDR or simply just not paying. Thanks, y'all, for the help. Lots of explanation points. Well, I don't have much help for you. I've been there. The B-Man, I've been there. I believe I graduated college. I also have a master's degree. I think I was close to $20,000 in debt. Would have been much more if not for my parents and helping me out. All I can say to you is you are F-U- C-K-E-D, all capital, fucked. You, for, at a minimum, 10 years, possibly decades, going on decades. Hopefully, for your sake, you're like me and you have families and or relatives or friends that you can live with rent-free or for a very minimum rent for the next decade as you help pay off this loan. Because you are going to have to pay this off. The one thing you should not do is commiserate with other people on the internet who are fucked because of their student loans. If you hang out with them, you're just going to assume, well, everybody's fucked, so I'm not going to pay. And we're all in the same situation, but that will be misdeceiving to you because there are people out there. I even know some of them who are paying their loans every month, doing the responsible thing. Now, you're going to have to, hopefully you have a car, because if you have a car, you're going to need a second job. That is the only way you're going to get out of this hole that you have. And I do sympathize with you because a studio apartment, you know, is $2,000. A car payment is probably after insurance and all that, $500. And then you have food and all these insurances and rental insurance and then your college loans. Like, dude, just to break even, just to be alive, you need at least $3,500 a month, which you're probably not making. So you're going to need a second job. You know this. Hopefully you have a car. You can work Uber and Uber Eats on the weekend. That's how fucked you are. You're going to have to drive Uber and Uber Eats and maybe even Lyft if that is... Yeah, you're fucked. I mean, if you're a hot babe, you can do OnlyFans. I suspect, though, that you're not. The student loan crisis, and it is a crisis. I don't know. I struggle with it because I don't believe that the government should bail all of you out who have student loans because I believe tax dollars should go to be helping the elderly, the needy, the young and needy. But if you're 25 and you're intelligent enough and healthy enough to graduate college, our tax dollars should not be going to help you. Again, that money should be going to the elderly and the young and needy. And again, there are people your age who were more responsible, who maybe didn't go to college, or they went to community college to save money for 2 years and then transferred to their, and then, this ain't a fucking responsible pie. Let's say, how can we get your, how do you make an extra $600 a month? I mean, honestly, the really only way is you're going to have to live with your parents or live with multiple roommates for the next decade as you pay down that bill that you have. Because again, rent is $2,000. You're not going to be able to afford the $600. So you're going to have to rent a room instead of an apartment. I did that. I worked a bunch of weird jobs. I worked at a polling institute. I was a substitute teacher. I tried real estate. I did manual labor for a little bit. I had all these weird, weird fucking jobs, research jobs. Like, man, that's what you're going to have. This might be a blessing in a disguise. Like, I dated this babe for a little bit who, like, she made a lot of money, but her side hustle was buying things from Goodwill and Target and then selling it on the internet. And then she kind of made more doing that than I made in my normal day job. So maybe you'll find a side hustle that you have more passion for than your stupid day job that you got your degree for, and then you make a business doing that. So maybe this weight of $600 every month will push you to get out from underneath the man and do your own thing that will, be monetarily successful for you. All I know is you're fucked, F-U-C-K-E-D, fucked. So are millions of others. I know everyone's telling you, well, you should have gotten a degree in something that you could have made a living doing. A STEM major. Well, I know engineers who are making $100,000 a year, and they have student loans that are $1,000 a month, and they're struggling to pay that off and, be able to live on their own as an adult. So I'm not going to rah-rah-rah you either. All I'm saying here is we got to have more finance literacy courses in high school. Because when I graduated high school, I honestly thought, well, if it's a 5% interest rate and I take out a loan for $100, that means I need to pay back $105. Turns out 5% interest is a lot more than $5. I still don't really understand how you could get a mortgage loan for 6%. Let's say it's a $200,000 house, which we wish they really were. I mean, good luck finding a $200,000 house in Connecticut. But the 6%, that comes out to be another $200,000. That's 100% interest rate. So I still, 41 years old, do not know how interest rates actually work. I just know they're a fuck ton. So if you're able to pay it off as quickly as you can. Gay for pay. That is the only answer I have for you. You have student loan debt, $600 a month. You don't know how to pay it off. How do you make the money to pay it? Gay for pay. Just kind of put a curtain over your sexuality. Learn how to suck some cock. Swallow that semen, because that's how you get $600. If you don't swallow the semen, good luck making $50 on a BJ, on a slob, on a... right? Swallow to get to $600. That's how you're going to pay this off. Gay for pay. Let's go look at some photos. Welcome to segment two of episode 124 of this project that is called Verbal Graffiti. Please remember to like, subscribe, and share an episode of Verbal Graffiti with everybody you know that has a BBL, which is an acronym for a Brazilian butt lift. How about those Brazilians, huh? That's what they're most known for, is having a butt that's so perfect that it's lifted to a degree that it becomes the envy of the rest of the world, so much so that there are floozies willing to go under the knife, under the anesthesia, to turn their butt down here to up here to look like a Brazilian. So to all you Brazilians, a tip of my penis. Actually, that does remind me, to be man, in my apartment building, there is a small gymnasium there, fitness center, a few treadmills, some free weights. I was there with using a 10-pound kettlebell because I am a weak sack of Irish potatoes, with all those brown marks. And I'm just there, and it walks in this petite, very slender Japanese lady. She had boobs that were not big, but she was so slender that it made her boobs look bigger than they actually are. But she had a fantastic ass. Fantastic. Does she have a Brazilian left? I don't know. I didn't ask her if she did or not. Again, I was with my 10-pound kettlebell, just staring at her respectfully through the mirror. Not directly. That's why all those mirrors are in the gym, so that you can stare at the floozies through the mirror and not directly. That's it. From one giant to another, there is a tip. Anyways, she was there 45 minutes, and all she did was butt exercises, working on those glutes. She was not fucking around with, lifting weights or doing some shoulder workouts. Nope. It was the squats and all these bend down, gluteus maximus exercises. She was working on her moneymaker. She had a fantastic ass, especially for her ethnicity. And honestly, if she was wearing a paper bag over her face, I would have thought she was Brazilian. But no, a Japanese lady with a fantastic ass. What a time to be alive, 2025. And to that lady, last night that I saw in the gymnasium, working solely on her butt cheeks, a tip of my penis to you. You know where it's at. And you're working on it, so good for you. Why do I bring this all up? Oh, that's right. We ended segment one of episode 124 using the phrase gay for pay. That is a phrase I will be using frequently going forward, because it is a phrase I just heard about last night. Sometimes I am so naive that it must come across as endearing to the public, because that seems to be a very common phrase, gay for pay. But I just heard it last night as a 41-year-old. So very, very similar to a few years ago, I heard the term lot lizard. That's for prostitutes who go to truck stops to fuck truckers for money. The truckers call them lot lizards. When I heard that term for the first time, I giggled and used it so much that all my friends hated me because I used it way too much. Same thing is going to happen with the phrase gay for pay, which is, hey, if you're in student debt, you're drowning in it, it's the only way you're going to get out is gay for pay. That's the only way. That is capitalism. If there is an immigrant, it comes up to you and goes, what is capitalism? How does this money system work? The answer is, well, you turn gay for pay. So that's how you're going to get a student debt. I'm not gay for pay, but hey, if you're getting paid enough and you're a heterosexual, but you get paid, hey, good for you. This is capitalism after all. So to all you people out there that are gay for pay, thanks for listening and or watching. All right. This is an interesting one. This is one I have opinions about, as well, that is the whole show. So if I did not have an opinion, this would be a very quick second segment. All right, this comes from the subreddit, True Rate Discussions. Why do you always see gorgeous women with less attractive guys, but never vice versa? Are women just kinder and see past the looks? I don't get it. I hope this is the right subreddit. Well, miss, this is the correct subreddit, but your opinion is wrong. 100% wrong. Now, I know. I will fully admit that I am the minority with this take, but I have been fighting the good fight valiantly for the last 20 years, and I don't need a sword, because I have my eyes, my gorgeous, stunningly blue ocean Pacific blue eyes, and I know what I see, all right? And I see more, okay, I'm trying to do the math. This is a simple, like, 1, 2, 3, 4 square. I see more attractive men, like, objectively attractive 8, 9, 10 rated men with ugly, grotesque women who are made out of 85% Velveeta macaroni and cheese than vice versa. All right. I see fewer hot babes 8, 9, 10 with ugly men that are made out of Kraft's macaroni and cheese with a graphic t-shirt with their belly hanging out and their bad posture. No, it's the women, the babes that are more shallow than the men. And I will die on that hill. I will die. All right. I'll give you the perfect example. Childbirth. Come at me. Most babes, right? I say over 50% of babes who give birth to babies, because that's what you give birth to, their body becomes mangled. You know, like they did a tour in Vietnam and got hit by all the Vietnam soldiers, and it's mangled. The belly, the stretch marks, the boobies just hang. They're deflated. They're pancakes. There's no lift to it. You hold them, and you feel the skin, but there's no to the boobs. Right? They're definitely not fake. They're not Ava Adams. You got this under the arm. You get the bags under your eyes. The hair is suddenly, it doesn't flow. It's a little sticky. All I'm saying is a mom, horrendous, just a bag of Fruit Loops. That's who all these moms are after they give birth. And the man, the husband, stays with her more times than not. So how can you tell me the guy cares more about looks than the woman does? Because if it was vice versa, if the man gave birth out of his dick hole and his dick was mangled and it was all weird looking and the body, it never got back to form. So many of those wives, right, who watch their husband give birth, peace out, I'm going to go fuck the Uber driver. All right, that is just, this is propaganda. This is pure propaganda that the media, our teachers, all the news stations have been, the movie, entertainment industry, have been pushing on us just from day one. Since when you get to that age, like Romeo and Juliet, Cinderella, when you finally learn about the different sexes, boys and girls, guys care about looks more than women do. No, we don't. Like, just start observing. Start observing. You will never, not never, because there's no never, but it is very rarely that you will see just a stunning, like a scarlet walk by holding hands with a guy with acne and cysts and a hairline, and he's balding, and he has back hair, and he has no sense of fashion, and he's got buck teeth, and he's got tartar on his teeth and hair coming out of his ear. Like that, you don't see that. You do not see that, because you women, you babes, you care more about looks than guys do. Because us guys, we're so, you know, we're so deprived of sex that we're willing to have sex with fatties. Sub 5, 4.5. We'll not only have sex with her, we'll hold her hand in public because we're happy just to have somebody to sleep with, just to have somebody that will look us in the eyes and pretend to love us for a few years till they break our heart, steal half our money, and steal our children from us. Like, we're so deprived for that love and that intimacy that we're willing to be in public with you. But women, you babes, not so much, especially in the age of social media, because you're so, women are so, they're so in tune with how they're perceived from the view of other people that they know all the angles of the photos, and they need to have photos that are on yachts, and the sun's gotta be, you know, at the right angle, the golden hour. So you think that all the babes are gonna have that photo ruined by a sub 5 man with noodly arms, and he's not tall, and he's wearing Crocs? Like, that's not gonna happen. So, like, social media, I will argue, has actually expanded the gap where there were, used to be babes that would date an ugly, a fatty, an out of shape, a buck-tooth guy who had a good personality. But not anymore. Not anymore. Like, if you want to be with a hottie, a babe, a baddie, you got to be an 8, 9, 10 man to do so, because women are more absorbed with looks than guys are. Come at me. I'm fighting a battle. Jon Snow, come at me. And I have one life, so I'll die. I'll die on this hill. And I have so many examples. There's a guy that lives down the street from my mom's. He looks like Bane. Who, remember Bane? The Batman's villain, very muscular, shaved head with the mask. This guy looks like the identical twin of Bane. He's huge. He's ripped. He's like 6'5". He's got the veins on the forearms that look like a porn star, male porn star's rocket. And his wife, his little bag of a wife, she looks like she goes to Willy Wonka's chocolate factory every weekend. You'll look at that mismatch and you're like, what are you doing fucking this person, marrying this, being associated with this box, worldly lady, fruit roll-up lady? Like, you're Bane. Go out. No, because guys, we care more about personality and everything else that comes with being someone other than looks. Can't say the same for women. It's just, I know I'm in the minority with this, all right, If all you babes cared so much about personality more so than looks, then every night I'm at a comedy club, I would need a snorkel to swim through all the pussy juice that's in that room. That's not the case, though. That is not the case. The only women that hang out at comedy clubs are chuckle fuckers that most of them have cluster B disorders and or just have such low self-esteem that they're willing to fuck a comic who does self-deprecating humor. Where are all the... Like, there's never been a time. Never been a time. And this is over a decade now where I've never done comedy, walked into the restroom, and seen a guy who just laid on stage for 20 minutes be getting his dick slobbed on by the hottest babe in the room. Not once has that happened. Now, it does happen to successful comedians, but it's not because they're hot. It's because of their status and, you know, just the celebrity that they have. Where are all the hot babes? I'll tell you where all the hot babes. All the hot babes are at the gym, are at the nightclubs, are at the fraternity houses. Because that's where all the hot Johns, buff, you know, good posture, gel in the hair. That's where all those guys are. So that's where all the ladies gravitate to. Because the ladies, you are the dogs among us. You care more about the body than us, the men, do. Because we are the romantics. You are the dogs. That is this episode. Let's continue reading. What is this? A Salesman's Wife by John Lawrence. We are starting a new chapter. What chapter are we on? We are on the top of page 121. This is the beginning of chapter 6. Can you believe we've made it this far? And we will read two pages together aloud. "You're early today," the suave doctor remarked as he led her into the familiar, dark, vaulted second-story room. "Yes, it's because I have something to ask you," she stammered nervously. "Oh," he said, "what is that?" They seated themselves in the armchairs as Pamela struggled to ask him about his assistant. "That young man in yesterday's session," she said in a low voice. I wonder about something you said. You called him your son." Carlsberg froze for a moment. He hadn't realized that such a remark had slipped out, but apparently in the frenzy of his excitement, he must have inadvertently revealed Garrett's identity. Did I say that?" he said in a somewhat forced, casual tone. "Yes, yes, I distinctly remember. Oh, doctor, is it true? Is he your son?" "Good heavens, Pamela," he said. "What sort of man do you think I am? You can't be serious." Pamela was relieved by his response. She didn't want to believe that such a thing was possible, and from Carlsberg's reaction, it was apparent she was wrong. "I didn't really think it was true," she said, feeling somewhat ashamed of her unfounded accusation. But I had to know. I was terrified." "I understand, Pamela," the doctor said, reaching out to pat her hand reassuringly. "Don't worry, everything is all right. I'm glad you were honest enough to ask. After all, this therapy isn't going to be much use unless we're honest with each other. Quite often a patient may nourish some frightening fantasy about the doctor. It's a common resistance to treatment, a way that makes the mind do tricks the patient into breaking off treatment." "Oh," she replied. "I'm so relieved. I thought I was going crazy for a moment." "Oh no," he said laughingly. "You're doing exceedingly well. Don't worry about a thing." In the next instant, however, the door to the room swung wide and Mavis burst into the chamber, unaware that Pamela had already arrived. Go suck a fat one.